Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Welcome, everybody, to The Instance. This is The Instance episode. Oh, it's not there. Yeah, it is. Here it is. 660. 660, yo. Six episodes away from the Mark of the Beast, and we can get all, you know, satanic around here. It'll be great.
That'll be our Doom episode.
Oh, we'll talk about Doom and the future of Doom. Maybe not. Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson. We got Garrett Weinzierl over there in his sweet, low, sick voice. How's it going, Garrett?
I have a bit of a sore throat. Yeah. I have tested. It was tested negative. Yeah. I feel fine otherwise. It's just inconvenient.
Yeah. They said, hey, you're very negative. And you said, oh, I don't have COVID. And they said, no, we just think you're a very negative influence on the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you know, I'm told that.
It happens. Don't worry. I've been there. Also with us, Jocelyn, who I have missed horribly. I don't think I've seen you for a while. No, we didn't have a show last week. That's why I haven't seen you.
We didn't have a show. Yeah.
Yeah. And thanks to you, I've been playing like all kinds of freaking Sea of Thieves. I've been in that water a lot and it's all your fault. So good job on that. Well done.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, you were, you were quite the ambassador for that game the other day, partly because you know what you're talking about is the one thing. Like, you've played it enough that you knew pretty much the ins and outs of that game better than any of the rest of us. But I didn't expect
and
to get sucked
so
in.
So much more than I could cover on that hour.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's funny, though. Everybody I talk to, they all say the same thing. And I think you alluded to this. The hand-to-hand combat, like the sword and gun combat, is not the selling point of that game. And that is absolutely for sure. But the ship-to-ship stuff, it's freaking insane.
Yeah, it's so fun. And they've added so many more things even since the beginning. So, like, there's all these, like, trick balls now that do things like anchor your opponent and bring down their sails and make them all, like, dance for 10 seconds or whatever so they can't do anything on their boat but dance.
Yeah, like, it's a hell of a thing.
A dance ball.
Before we launch into our big topic, I wanted to ask you this one question. Did you know... Bo said he found it by accident. I'd never heard of it. But if you and your friends, let's say three of you, are dealing with an island that's just full of those snakes, okay, those freaking hideous snakes, he says that they all just randomly decided to start playing music, and two things happened. They pull out their instruments, which are a thing in the game, and they synchronize when you all do it at the same time. So whatever you're playing, they all synchronize together and play the same song, different octaves, different parts of the song, but all one song. Not only that, but the snakes get charmed and stop attacking. They all chill out and lay there. Did you know this?
Yeah. You can actually, like, catch them.
That's insane. What a weird thing to have in your game. And they don't overtly tell you this. Sometimes you just run into this shit, and it's great. I love it.
That's what's so great about Sea of Thieves is they barely overtly tell you anything. They're just like, this is how you make your ship work. This is your gun and your sword. And then they just kind of let you go.
Yeah. Here's the water. Get in your ship. Mm-hmm. Find out what the hell's going on here, because we're not going to tell you. That's basically it.
Yeah.
Well, that might be what I did the last week of my 2021, but we're going to talk today about what we're all going to be maybe doing or excited about in 2022. What are the big games that are going to grind our gears? What are the things we're going to spend the most time with, get lost in, play with our friends, that sort of stuff? We've got a big list to go through, so let's dive in. All right, so I made this list. And I don't know how accurate this will be. So many of these things were actually games for this year and got pushed to next year. And some of these are set for next year, but may get pushed anyway.
I was about to say, I bet most of these are going to get pushed to the year after anyway.
Sure feels like it. I mean, in a couple of cases, I just don't see it happening. But Starfield, probably, I mean, it's scheduled for November 11th next year. On purpose. The same release date as Skyrim, so they're kind of playing that card there.
I don't trust any November releases.
Yeah.
I see November and it just
feel like they're going to get pushed.
Yeah. My eyes just like warp it into the next year, whatever the next year is. I see November. So for next year, if I see November 22, I'm just like, yeah, 2023. Sounds good.
That's probably a safe thing to do. And if they surprise you, great. Right. Like then you're happy and you got the thing early and all as well. But it does feel like whenever Bethesda, just from a historic standpoint, when they put a number on a screen and say 11/11/22, which is what they did at last, whatever event it was, it might have been the Microsoft event, that tells me that they're pretty locked in, because they rarely do that unless they're locking it in. That doesn't mean it'll launch in the best shape possible. Bethesda known for some pretty janky launches in the past. So I don't know. But while we're on that one, let's talk about it for a second. What we know about that game appears to be pretty ostentatious. Like it's a pretty big deal, or at least it seems like this is like their big foray into what if we took our formula into space and took what we do here at Bethesda, be it Elder Scrolls or, you know, Fallout or whatever. Let's take that off world to multiple worlds. And that's almost all we know about it. Like, we don't have any other details, but we know it's a big sprawling RPG in space. And usually that's enough for me to get excited. It's probably my most anticipated game of next year. And I'm probably setting myself up for disappointment because, I don't know, Bethesda's track record lately hasn't been insane. Although this is now post Microsoft ownership. Maybe that injects money, energy, and excitement into that. Those divisions, I don't know. But anyone else here want to go to space and, like, you know, do shit?
I want to go to space so that we can get back to Elder Scrolls.
Ah, look at you with the alternative motive there. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
The faster they finish this and get it out, the faster I get my Elder Scrolls 6. So
that's a lukewarm Bethesda guy, but I think Starfield looks freaking cool.
Good, right?
I like the kind of aesthetic direction they went with it. Like, it looks very tactile, very kind of aliens, like, I don't know. It looks like new 70s sci-fi.
It's not shiny space.
Yeah, and I don't like shiny space. I'm not a fan. I like dirty, gritty space. Star Wars at its worst is when the ships are too shiny. Star Wars at its best is when everything's all banged up, right? You don't want a Millennium Falcon that looks like it's just clean and pristine all the time. You want a bunch of dirt on it. And it seems like they're leaning into that aesthetic for Starfield. It seems like there's a lot of hardware. That's interesting to me, because when they showed that ship and claimed it was in engine and all that for their teaser, there's a lot of wires and shit, buttons and crap hanging from stuff and lots of, you know, tangled up junk underneath where a pilot's feet might be. And that sort of thing really gets me, because to me, space is at its best when it's just a little gnarly, you know, not too sewn up and clean and perfect. I like a little piracy in space. I like a little bit of, you know, people being bastards in space. And I assume there's conflict in this game. You know, whether this game ends up feeling like Mass Effect 3.0 or something, or if it feels more like, hey, it's Fallout, like down to the dialogue choices, except now we're in space, you know, time will tell. But I am very, very high on my anticipation list at Starfield. Very excited about that game. How much time we spend with it, who knows? Like, that's the other thing, is I don't know if this game, they haven't said as much, as far as I know.
I foresee 10 years of re-releases across every console you can possibly imagine.
Well, if it's popular, sure. That's the model, right? That's what they do. Somebody yesterday was saying, Sky should be playing Skyrim again. Why? I don't know, because it's 10-year anniversary. Okay, well, all right. I guess I could play it again. Like, I get it. I get why that game is as big and as popular as it is, and I loved Skyrim, but, you know, we'll see if this is that. Does this have any kind of end game? Do they try to monetize it on the long end? What is this game in 5 years? I don't know. Or is this just, like, purely like, hey, we made a single-player game, and it had a start and an ending, and maybe some DLC later, and that's it? I don't know. I don't know what I want. But clearly what Joss wants is, get your shit done and move out of the way and get Elder Scrolls 6 in here. That's what you want.
Exactly. Yeah. As soon as they said, oh, we're going to work on it, like, we're thinking about it with this one image that's going to kind of fly at you, which is a teaser. Mm-hmm. Like, and then they were like, but we're going to do Starfield first. I was like, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. They were, that was such a appease the fans move just to show that.
Yeah.
Because it was
useless bullshit is what I said when that came up. I was like, oh, cool. Thank you for wasting my time.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, obviously, yes, they're working on it. Of course. Like, stuff's on the table. Who knows how far they are into the process? All of that is a given.
Why doesn't Lucasfilm put up a Star Wars logo and say there'll be another movie sometime? That's as useful as this Elder Scrolls teaser.
Yeah.
Oh, so true. And I mean, they take so long to make that if they're waiting until they finish Starfield to start Elder Scrolls, I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be a member of the AARP by the time the next
Elder Scrolls it's going to be, like 2030. We'll get Elder Scrolls 6.
Well, all I know for sure is that Microsoft spent a lot of money for that company. And one could argue that that 7. Whatever billion dollars was primarily for three things. Elder Scrolls as an IP, Fallout as an IP, and whatever this is going to be. Like, that's the three-pronged purchase that Microsoft made. So if they want to maximize that investment, and I can only assume that they do for that much money, even in Microsoft terms, that's not small change.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. I feel like they really need to kill it. And they have a chance to make something real special here. So I'm over the moon excited about, you know, big sprawling epic RPG space shit. And sign me up. Horizon Forbidden West. So that's
I'm just going to mute myself and let Josh go.
I was going to say, who could possibly be excited about this one?
Well, I mean, I am also excited about this game, but I guess it's one of those games where I just like, oh, yeah, right, that's coming, and yeah, it'll be good. And then I don't know what else to say about that game, except maybe it'll just blow our minds so hard that we'll be like, that's the greatest game ever made. It improves on the first one in every way. But I do see Jocelyn playing the crap out of this game and then telling us all about it. So why are you so excited? Why is that a game you'll play next year?
Honestly, I just absolutely loved the first game. It came out of nowhere. I had zero expectations. I remember like seeing the trailer at like an E3 or a game award or something and being like, okay, so we're fighting robot dinosaurs with a bow and arrow. Like, what the shit?
Yeah, it is right. That is one of the weirdest reveals. I remember thinking, is that really what this is? It's like robot. I didn't know
dinosaur things. Yeah.
I didn't know what to think. It was very weird. And plus, it was the studio that did what were those shooters that studio made before this? The one that was controversial for PS2 because when they showed the trailer, they claimed it was in-game footage, but then later said it wasn't.
Oh, Killzone?
Killzone. So this is the Killzone developer, which, you know, that game was serviceable. Those games, they're all right, but they weren't.
We played them. It was fun.
Yeah, they were fine, but they weren't this.
Don't care for me. I never even loaded one up. I was just like, I don't give a crap about this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I did like it. And in fact, when I heard that they were doing
that,
was
the day of, if you remember the days of like, oh, this MMO is gonna kill WoW. That Killzone was it's the Halo killer.
Yeah,
it's gonna come out and kill Halo. And those god awful Resistance games, like.
Oh, yeah, Resistance. I kind of liked Resistance games.
I realize some people like them, and I question your taste if you liked Resistance.
They were generic. The shooting was okay, though, and it's what's their names? They make good games.
Good games that aren't called Resistance.
Yeah.
All their other games are great.
Resistance 2, I spent a fair amount of time in, and I'm not gonna badmouth it too much, but I understand what you're saying. It's pretty generic.
I tried it because I like Insomniac, and I was just like, boy, this is a really mediocre shooter. Because I like everything else Insomniac does, like a ton. I'm a total Insomniac fanboy.
Yeah. But. Well, this looks. I'm looking at footage right now. Forbidden West looks crazy good visually. Like maybe
it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever laid eyes upon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, game wise.
Yeah.
And they do such a good job, not just of like combat mechanics, which I really liked, but also like not even just their storytelling, but their world building, like all of the supplemental materials that you could find that kind of explained the original like fall of civilization was just really, really interesting to me. And I went out of my way to find every little piece of information that I possibly could. And like 100%ed that game, like couldn't put it down. It was just like, I loved finding everything. There were interesting puzzles to even just to find like the little data sheets and stuff and all the collectibles. Like, I don't know. I just really, really enjoyed it. It sucked me in like crazy in ways I wasn't expecting. It was also like the way they laid their story out every step of the way. Like I kept thinking like, okay, this is my end goal. Like at the beginning, I was like, okay, so I have to like go and play the game and get good enough to come first in the proving. And then it was like, that was literally like the beginning, like the tutorial.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, now I have to avenge my tribe. And then it was like, the world just kept opening up and up and up. And then I was like, wow, this went places I was not expecting. And it's amazing. So it's like, literally one of my favorite games of all time. Like it's up there in like the top three. So yeah. I just like, man, I love it so much. And I'm so glad that it's getting a sequel.
Yeah, I am too. It's up there on my list. I can't seem to ever find a PlayStation 5 so that I could play this game. It'll be exclusive at least for a while. First game made it to PC, but it was years later. So I'm not holding my breath for how quick that'd be if that happens at all. But,
It took me like 5 months to find a PS5, and I did it specifically so I'd have the PS5 to play Horizon Forbidden West when it comes out in February.
My experience was the opposite. Once I started hardcore looking, it only took me about a month to secure a PS5, but it took me the rest of this year to find an Xbox Series X.
Yeah, I think what happened...
flipped. It took me like a week to get the Xbox, but yeah. PlayStation was like, nah.
Yeah, they had a weird thing because you had a very different experience than me. I got a Series X because somebody ordered two and did a whole midnight thing and all that and said, hey, I only need the one. Do you want to buy mine off me? So I just got lucky that way. But you're impossible. You can't get them.
Yeah, I was hoping for that. I was no joke. The only reason I was tweeting about my failures is I was hoping someone would be like, yo, I've got an extra and I won't mark you up on it. Like, yeah. That's the only I'm letting you know my tactic now. Yeah. I was just hoping someone would pipe up with an extra.
Yeah, and all I'm looking for, I'll take a digital one, PS5. I don't need the disc one. Just give me, you know, the cheaper deal, whatever. I'll take a scratch on it. You get some scratches, it's fine. Let's just go ahead and sell me your slightly used but functioning PS5.
Yeah, you can get those color changing shells now for them.
Yeah,
that they sued that third party for.
And maybe don't charge. Don't scalp it to me for $1,200. Maybe that. Maybe not.
I mean, you can try. I won't pay it.
But. Well, Forbidden West. I mean, I'm just watching this video here, and I'm still kind of blown away by the gameplay reveal they had at the. At their next play thing. It's just still just one of the most gorgeous things I've been shown this year. And this is the irony of why it reminded me of Killzone. Looking at this and knowing that this is gameplay and knowing that it is like nothing about this says, oh, they faked it. Go back to some time and watch that Killzone 2 trailer. It's terrible. We all thought it was like the end all be all. That's not anything special. This looks like
you need to put your head in whatever year that was.
Yeah.
I remember looking at it, be like, boy, this is a really pretty game. I'm not interested in.
Yeah.
But it sure did look good at the time.
It did. It looked very nice. Never was the Halo killer they promised. All right. Any Dark Souls fans here? You guys want to play Elden Ring in a month or two, whatever it is? Let's see. February is the current
date. I'm legitimately curious. Does anyone here play those games? Because I do not.
I don't. I wish I did. I don't. Jocelyn, do you?
Don't really, but I'm kind of interested in Elden Ring just because they seem to be putting the trappings of fantasy things that I like into that game. Like Dark Souls is just so dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like it just, I don't know, like I kind of like got into Dark Souls, started playing it. It was just a bunch of skeletons in a castle and they killed me really fast. And I was like, this isn't fun.
I mean, you're going to have some of those gameplay tropes here as well, where it's very difficult. Saves are few and far between. Everything is very, animation specific sort of fight. So you got to parry the exact right times. All those things are going to still be true here. But I'm with you that the world, way more interesting looking to me.
Yeah,
yeah, and that might be enough.
Yeah.
Like, I still want to pick up Demon's Souls, like the PS5 remake, because it's just so pretty.
Yeah,
and it's really an aesthetic. Pretty. I like that old school medieval look
yeah.
a lot. Yeah. But these are the, like, I don't know. I look at these, and I know people of all ages play it, but I look at this as like a young man's game. Like, I think if like you're in high school and you've got nothing but time to die over and over again until you get perfect at this game.
Yeah.
Like, this is the type of, like, I liked Ninja Gaiden back in the day.
Yeah.
So like, I understand and I respect this type of game. Like, I totally get that. Like, it's hard for heart's sake, but yo, I'm turning 35 in a few weeks. Like, I ain't got time for this shit.
It's funny. I have the exact opposite kind of reaction to this. Is like, before I didn't really have the like patience, I guess, or like I needed so much more out of my games. And now I'm like, oh man, you know what? I've played a lot of games like that. Maybe I will actually really like something that I need to try over and over and over. Like, I haven't done that since like the Super Nintendo days of like the Addams Family, what, the Pugsley scavenger hunt type thing. They're like Aladdin.
What,
like, those are the
game
same
are you even talking about?
Oh my God, bro, what?
Tell me about this game. I want to know more.
Addams, there was an Addams Family game?
Yeah, there was an Addams Family game, and it was so hard.
Yeah.
Pugsley scavenger hunt. Oh, this is a Game Boy game? Oh, okay, there was a Super Nintendo version.
There was a Super Nintendo version, yeah.
Oh, wow, it was based on the cartoon. I watched the shit out of this cartoon as a kid.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, it was perfect. I can't believe you didn't play it. I
never heard of this. No, I played Aladdin, but I played the Genesis version, and I beat the hell out of that game. And I was bad. Like, I was not a good video game player in the Genesis era.
Yeah.
I think I beat Sonic 2, and I beat Sonic 2, Jurassic Park, and Aladdin. I think those are the only games I ever beat on the Sega.
So is this game, this came out, let's see, 91, it looks like. So this would have been a tie-in to that first movie, I guess, when that happened. Oh, my Lord. I'm looking at some of this. Wow. Okay, but you know what? You're not wrong to point. I think you're right to point to these older games because they did have a tendency to, you know, difficulty was definitely a part of them. They didn't necessarily have save points. If they had them at all, it'd be like some weird code you had to enter.
Oh, yeah, there were no save points. Like, you just had to execute everything perfectly. You had 3 lives and that was it. And if you failed, you went right back to the start of level 1.
Yeah. Ooh, this reviewed very poorly back then, but it looks okay. It's all right.
They obviously didn't know what they were talking about because I played the crap out of it
as a
like 7-year-old.
Yeah,
it looks super charming.
Yeah, it does. Look at this guy flying. Is that Gomez? Yeah, he's flying around getting money because Gomez likes money. Oh, there's yeah, this looks like one of those kind of games. And so I don't know, the Elder Scrolls.
I'm not saying play it now, guys. Just to be clear, like, don't go and try to get.
Yeah, don't find it now.
I'm grabbing an emulator right now. 10-year-old
Jocelyn likes to play.
Yeah, no, I feel you. But I guess what I was trying to say, not Elder Scrolls, but Elden Ring and the Dark Souls kind of Souls-like game genre is trying to channel that. And I agree with Garrett that I think it's just a different kind of thing for a different generation. What I wish they would do. And they did this with Star Wars Jedi Redhead game. What was that called? What was the name of that? The new one.
Jedi Fallen Order.
There it is. the Redheaded Jedi guy game.
Jedi Secrets of the Ginger.
That game had a load of Souls-like stuff in it, but had a difficulty scale that I could at least tweak and make work for me. And that's what I really liked about it, because I didn't have to go full Souls-like. I could kind of go halfway and feel pretty good about it. I wish these games would do this. From Software doesn't do that. They're just like, hey, do you like hard things? Good. Here's everything that's hard ever.
Are we going to get back into this debate?
No.
I'm a little over it.
Yeah. I mean, all I'm saying is, give me an easy mode. That's a fair thing to ask, right? Elden Ring easy mode. Not
Scott, that is literally the heart of the controversy.
I know it is, but I'm saying here's all they have to do. I don't know why everyone who's like get good can't have their hard mode and let me have my easy mode. Why not? What is the problem?
To that I say, you know, where were you during the Halo days? Because we all bragged about beating it on Legendary, but that wasn't the only way to play.
No, it wasn't. And you know what? I appreciated the fact that that wasn't the only way to play. I think video games should be accessible to various skill levels and schedules. That's the main thing. I don't have time to freaking beat Elden Ring, but I do have time to experience a cool world and do it with less, you know, less punishing combat. I wish they'd let me. That's all I'm saying. All right. And they can't because of whatever reason. There's no good argument against this. Like, I know we're going to get emails about this. There's no good argument against it. If it's as hard as you want it to be, If it's as hard as you want it to be, then it's already the game you want. If it has a setting to make it easier for me, why do you care?
I so wanted to skirt this entire conversation. And here you are, just Scott's just in the front yard with a shovel, just already 6 feet in the ground. Just no, we're mining for controversy here. Let's go.
I'm gonna find it. There's gold in them there hills. All right,
that was great, man.
I have a few others here that we don't need to spend tons of time with. Like, you know, some people, the car pornists among us, like you, Garrett, might be playing Gran Turismo 7.
Excuse me, I just sit here and listen to Jocelyn write a love letter to Horizon, all right? I need a second for Gran Turismo.
Do it. Give it to me. I want to hear. Why will Gran Turismo rope you in?
For this.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah, man. Gran Turismo Sport, like, was fun, but, like, I am this person that came to Gran Turismo very, very late. I played it a little bit at my friends' houses, like during like the GT2 and GT3 days. That was it. I never really had my own copy. So I've over the when we had our first like legit and only quarantine in the States, I built my own sim rig. I bought an actual car seat off of Facebook Marketplace and built a little frame out of 2x4s and screwed that sucker in and got myself a cheap flat screen, mounted it on the wall, and built myself a sim rig. And I'm really proud of my C rating in Gran Turismo Sport, because that game, people are very good at that game.
No, it's competitive as hell. I mean, I don't know what it was in my head, but for some reason I thought you were more akin to something like the Horizon Forza game style of play, and less like this just all. Like purity of, you know.
Forza has a terrible competitive online environment, in my opinion. It's really, really bad. Everyone on there just wants to ram you off the track. Gran Turismo.
That's a valid play style.
Gran Turismo is accessible sim adjacent racing. In the world of racing sims, Gran Turismo is considered a baby's toy. It's still sim adjacent. It has real world tracks, real world cars, and for the most part, the player base want to learn how to race and improve and get better. And its system of matchmaking, I think, is the best that I've come into contact with. I've tried more hardcore sims like Assetto Corsa, but the simplicity with which you can get into a race in Gran Turismo and it will grade you and match you with similar skilled drivers is I think, the best in the market of racing games.
Well, if you're into cars as porn, pretty sure this is your jam, right? This is where you're.
I also love car porn.
Yeah, car porn's pretty good.
Is pretty exceptional car porn.
Yeah, and they're really into like, hey, look at this. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of this game that is about you looking at a thing and pausing that and doing a little photo mode and sharing that with your friends. And you know, it's a little bit of a not fetishy, because I don't want to. That has weird connotations. But you know, if you're into cars. Hot damn, Gran Turismo might be your thing. All right, let's skip ahead. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. I could not care less about this game, and someone should convince me why I should be excited. I can't get excited about it.
I have multiple friends that are raging fanboys about Tiny Tina and think she's the greatest thing in Borderlands. I'm not a huge Borderlands fan. I played the first two. I enjoyed them ish. I had an enjoyable ish time.
Yeah.
I just don't think the shooting's all that great.
Yeah.
I think it's like okay shooting.
It's got the good Diablo, you know, dropping shit all day and picking up better weapons thing going for it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I haven't played it since Diablo 3 came out.
Oh, that's interesting.
I didn't realize that until this exact moment. Diablo 3 came out and I was like, cool, I never need to play Borderlands again.
Well, there's unicorns in it, so I got to think Jocelyn's stoked about this. Just kidding. I know you like unicorns. But so, all right, Jocelyn, you had a tone of excitement there. Is this the game you were wanting to play?
Well, I was kind of the same as Garrett. Like, I played 1 and 2 Borderlands, and I was kind of like, okay, yeah, this is what it is, because basically I had friends that also wanted to play it, so I kind of just jumped into that, like, fourth spot sort of thing. But it was never really my jam. And then I saw the trailer for this and I did really like Tiny Tina in Borderlands. Like, I thought she was a great character. Yeah. And the fact that she's just getting her own game, like all of the like aesthetics and the humor and stuff just was right up my alley. And I'm like, maybe I might actually like this. What? It's the first time I've really been interested in a Borderlands thing since like Borderlands 2 came out. Yeah. So
I played 2 like it was going out of style. I loved it, but I just really fell off of it after a while and kind of just didn't like 3 did no excitement for me. I didn't even touch
3.
Yeah. Same deal.
I think I bought it on sale and played like 2 hours of it. And I was like, I'm not feeling it.
The worry here is that this game is not worry because this is what people want, I think, but it looks like it's just Borderlands. It's just still a shooter and it's still loot based and you're in a fantasy place. And there's some kind of weird D&D overworld thing going on.
Oh, that's Tiny Tina's whole jam.
Yeah. And there's a giant Cheeto you have to get past because get it? Gamers like Cheetos. Get it? Because that's a Cheeto. Like, I'm a little worried about that.
that's the point, though. That is Borderlands brand. And like, I don't think it's particularly hilarious, but like, there's clearly a fan base. And so I think people who love Borderlands, like, I think Borderlands is doing what it needs to do. Mm-hmm. It's just that for me, I imagine this is how a lot of people are with Halo, because I love Halo. I play every Halo, and I think even bad Halo is good Halo.
Yeah, all Halo is good Halo. Yeah.
Whereas I think for a lot of people, Halo, like much like emo, is this thing that was really popular in the early aughts, and they have never gone back to it. And that's how I feel about Borderlands. Yeah. It is very much a point in time that I really don't have a lot of interest returning to.
Well, we'll see how that thing fares. I could be convinced.
By the way, emo's still great.
Emo is? Like, what about the people that are dancing in the parking lot, that weird dance they do? Is that still great or is that terrible?
Sir, those are like rave goths. That is not emo.
Okay, I really hate that. Whatever that is, whatever they got going there, really, really dislike it. It's not a fan.
Scott, all I want for Christmas is you.
Yeah, well, you can have me because I don't know where I was.
Wow. I mean, that was easy.
Wow. Yeah, you didn't even have to work for that.
Yeah, that was kind of emo. You're right. But those guys that dance under the parking lots and stuff freak me out. They make me feel like I might get hurt if I go walk around there. Is that a weird thing to say? It's kind of, yeah, that's the dance. Oh, people at home, I wish you could see Garrett dancing. All right. On to one I think I'm actually excited about. And speaking of, you know, hit and miss humor attempts in a open world environment, I'm a big fan of most of the Saints Row series. I really liked 3. And I thought 4 was pretty good. Before 3 and after 4, I don't know, things get a little fishy. But they're about to reboot this thing. They're basically starting over with a whole new jam. And they're calling it just straight up Saints Row. I think it looks stupid and ridiculous and over the top. And that's kind of what I want out of a game like this. So my expectation is I'll probably spend a lot of time in this world and it'll be real dumb and lots of fart jokes and, you know, it'll be just, you know, people kicking each other in the nuts and that'll be the game. And that's fine.
If we're Borderlands style of humor is like kind of just doesn't really land for me. I love Saints Row's style of humor.
Yeah.
I think 3 is one of my favorite games. I love Saints Row 3. Yeah,
3 is amazing. 3 really just nailed all the, I don't know. That's where they got it right. And I feel like they maybe went a little too far later, or, you know, just took themselves. I don't know. They missed the point.
I liked the crescendo of 4 where you're like, yeah, you're basically Neo. You can fly and shit. Go nuts.
Yeah,
like,
it really was.
I enjoyed 4. 3 was my favorite though. I don't know. Any game where I can like beat people to death with a giant dildo. Like, I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, why not? I mean, more.
That way, I'm actually kind of worried about the new Saints Row because I saw the trailer and I didn't like even giggle. Like, it didn't seem to be a sense of humor about it beyond the visuals.
Yeah, a little worried about that. Same.
Yeah.
I mean, although, again, I've said before, I just think all of them have been a little hit and miss with the humor. I can deal with it in 3 more because I feel like 3's world reflects it more. This looks like, you know, a modern ass looking game. Nice visuals. I suspect I'll spend a ton of time in there.
The wingsuit looks very fun.
Joss, any fandom for the Saints Row series?
None at all.
None. How are you with open world in general? Like, obviously like Horizon for Zero Dawn and all that, but like, you know, GTA likes, are you attracted to any of that?
Well, I mean, not so much the city based stuff. Like anything with like cities and cars, I'm kind of like, it's just not my jam. Yeah. Like I live in a city. I have a car. Like show me a flying horse and let me do magic.
I love that. I live in a city and I have a car. Show me some magic. That's a great line. I really like that.
I'm going to have a car too, but I don't get to run people over with it and then get pull the rocket launcher out of my trunk and blow up a fire truck.
That's not my fantasy, though, Garrett. I'm a little worried it is yours.
I'm not saying it is my fantasy. I'm just saying that it's a surprisingly fun fantasy to take part in.
Yeah, there's something I like about the violence in a game like that, because it's so over the top and dumb that I can never take it seriously, right? Like, it's just like, wasted a whole town full of people, ha ha ha, and move on. And sometimes you want that, where it's just frivolous and nobody got hurt. Really?
it appeals to the inner, Limp Bizkit fan in me, because if you could play the song Break Stuff, it would be a GTA game.
Oh, my Lord.
That's fair.
And that's there's something about, I really like cheesy, over-the-top violence.
What if you don't have a mini Limp Bizkit fan in me or out of me that's nowhere near me? What if I don't like Fred Durst? Am I still allowed?
I guess you're in denial because you enjoy GTA and Saints Row.
That's true. I do like both those games. So.
And then there's Jocelyn, who likes Limp Bizkit but doesn't like Saints Row.
I know. I noticed that quick that you knew that song, Jocelyn. You were like on the... Right on the money there.
Yeah.
That's our vocal warm-ups before an episode of Angry Chicken. We do call and response on either Rollin' or Break Stuff.
Oh, my Lord. That's fantastic. I actually heard their new album's okay. That's what I heard. I haven't heard it. It is decent.
I'm really not that person anymore and don't really feel like listening to Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, Garrett and I just had a very specifically same high school experience.
it was grade school for me, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, look at this young buck here with us.
Yeah, I had a burnt copies of the Marshall Mathers LP and Significant Other that I had to hide in my CD collection from my parents, because they always got me stuff from Walmart, which was edited.
Yeah, of course, because that's how Walmart rolls. That's what they do. They're edited for your pleasure. All right. Another one I'm excited about is one we don't have to talk a ton about, because I think it fits kind of squarely in the Horizon Forbidden West zone, but God of War Ragnarok, follow up to the incredibly well received and reviewed God of War, which is also ostensibly a reboot of the series, with the boy and the whatnot.
This is a number one top of the list for me. This is what I am the most excited to play.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know. I ebb and flow on linear experiences, and that game was pretty linear. And nothing wrong with that. You know, I love the Nathan Drake games. They're all pretty linear. There's plenty of linear experiences I like. But my expectation is this God of War follow-up will be, again, a linear experience. And at the moment, I kind of want big, open, let me do what I want to do games. And maybe, see
this
if these...
This game reminded me how much I love, old-school overworld, though. Because it had an overworld a la Ocarina of Time.
Oh, that's true.
Like the central hub that you return to. And if you wanted to do side stuff, you could always you'd backtrack and go to old places. And also, again, kind of like Fallen Order had this Souls adjacent difficulty to it. If you wanted to, up the difficulty or go try those damn, what were they? The Harpies?
The Harpies. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it did.
I stumbled across one on accident and it just completely just ate my face.
Oh, no, they were dicks. They were dicks. But at the highest level dick going on there.
Don't believe harpies have dicks, but yeah.
No, they were free of genital notification, as far as I know. But here's the deal. I think this is more of a commentary on the overall use of Kratos. I think it's a minor miracle what they pulled off, because Kratos, up to the point of this game that comes before Ragnarok, and this is a follow-up, Kratos was just over the top, ridiculous. Action the way you're used to action, kind of action character hero thing. Very two-dimensional, just pissed all the time, sleeping with the ladies and causing havoc. That's his deal.
You got to break that vase.
Yeah, and they did. And they blew my mind with it. Like, I can't believe how effectively they did it. And in essence, they finally gave Sony the mascot they deserve, because they've never really been able to nail one down. It's like, Crash Bandicoot's kind of the mascot. Well, is he though? Not really. Well, don't really want the Last of Us people to be the mascot, or Nathan Drake or something. That's weird.
Yeah, you know what I want for my mascot is extreme emotional trauma.
Yeah. But what you get here is finally you get this recognizable and now really nuanced character that I think is like tonally fits the PlayStation world. And they finally got their Master Chief. They finally got their Mario, in a weird way of saying that, but they got their
and
guy.
It's a bearded bald man who just goes, boy,
boy, over here, boy. Chatroom says, are you thinking of Valkyries, not
Harpies?
Harpies?
Oh, I guess they were Valkyries. Yeah.
Valkyrie needs food badly.
How could I ever confuse those two?
Ask your uncles. All right, let's move on to, I just put it in here because I'm excited about it, and I shouldn't be, but I am. Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
Yo, I love Kirby, and this game looks great.
It looks dope. Speaking of open worlds, this will be the first time Kirby's ever done anything like that, best I know. And I really like Kirby, and I really like open world games, so it seems like this is what I want. Also, I like apocalyptic ideas, and the game's literally like Kirby digging through a dead world trying to figure out what the F happened. So
Kirby stars in The Last of Us.
Yeah. Like, everything's all banged up. There's shit everywhere. Everything, the city's all overgrown. This mall's got birds in it and growth and garbage, and, you know, it looks like a mess, and there's no people, and it's just Kirby going, all right, solve this deal.
I guess I just need to eat some things.
Yeah. I'm actually really excited about this. And I don't.
It's actually not unlike me during quarantine. It was just, you know, the world's on fire and the apocalypse is now. I guess I should just eat something.
Yeah, eat something. In my case, eat too much is what I do these days. I eat way too much.
You want to talk about things I overplayed on, like, the Game Boy. Kirby's Dream Land 2.
Whew. Oh, it's an amazing game. Nothing wrong with that. What was the one with the lines you would draw on the DS? I love that one. Kirby's Magic Line Drawing. No, that's not the name.
Was it the Magic Yarn?
Magic? No, Yarn was the one that had actual yarn in it.
Was that a Switch game?
That may have been a Switch game. DS had this game where you used the stylus, and to get him anywhere, you had to create like ramps and draw them, and you had limited length you could make. And as the game went on, you could upgrade the length and that sort of thing. It's starting to sound dirty, but anyway, the point is, it was amazing. It was such an amazing game, and this looks like the first time they've ever gone like full, you know, post Mario 64 3D world with him, and I'm all in, dude. This looks great. And look at that, he's hucking. Look at that, swallowed a dude. Oh, barfed him up on another guy. That's Kirby shit going on. All right, I'll try to maintain my excitement on that one. A couple others here. Oh, Breath of the Wild 2. Here's the deal, Nintendo. If you want that to be a game I grind in 2022. You best remove the breakable weapons. That's all I want to say. I know you're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. But if they did that, sign me up. I don't want anything to do it.
I got so much hate on the last episode of The Instance where I said that I thought Breath of the Wild 2 was the most overrated game of the last decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a lot of
tweets
about that.
I want real dungeons back.
Yeah, you want Zelda back. That's what you want.
I hated those shrines and those stupid machines.
Yeah. I thought the machines were cool. I thought they were short. The shrines I got so bored with eventually.
Yeah.
My bigger issue with it was I didn't like that. I talked about this a little bit. Like the music was so subtle, except for every time you came across one of those stupid monsters that played that stupid, it sounded like Brass Monkey without the Beastie Boys rapping. So you heard that more than you heard a Zelda soundtrack, which is a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
And the powers are great. The powers are like legitimately, I think, some of the best abilities I've ever seen in a Zelda game. And I just wanted to take them through long, sprawling dungeons.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
And the machines I thought were really good. They were just a little short. And so it's like,
well, yeah, that's the thing. They were short. The shrines were short. The shrines were all over the place and they didn't really tie into each other too much. Like, not like an old school, big, huge, long, figure out a gajillion floors in the water temple. Like, I want to do that again.
Yeah, I hope there's more of that. Or, you know what? I'd be happy if they just re-released Wind Waker again, because I love that game. I could play Wind Waker right now. Like, right this second, I would play it. I'd hang up with you guys and play that game immediately if it was available. That's how much I like that.
Yeah, and again, like, to be clear, like, I get why people like this game. Like, I think it is objectively a great game. It's just not, like, a Zelda game I particularly like.
Yeah, I agree. Pokemon Legends. Pokemon? Did I say Pokemon? Didn't mean to. Pokemon.
You sound like my mom. My mom says Pokemon.
I sound like this lady right here.
Back to Pokemon Go.
All right. We don't want to hear her anymore. Pokemon. Pokemon. Pocket Man. Pokemon Legends. Arceus? 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 How do you say that last pit?
Nailed so it.
I was unaware of this game and Googled it in preparation of this show, and it sounds awesome, and I want to play it.
Yeah, it looks cool, man. Like, I knew this was coming, and I'm not a Pokemon like me. I got to get every damn version of the game, but I've enjoyed me some Pokemon in my time, and I think this just looks really cool. Like, visually, it's kind of what I've been asking for. Like, change it up. Quit going with, like, the top-down sameness of these games and give me something, you know, like a proper 3D world or whatever. And it feels like that's what they've done.
Like, since the N64 days, I've been begging for something where you put me down in the Pokemon world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been forever. Isn't this this is some kind of Game Boy redo or something? I may have that wrong in my head. In my head, this is a game where it used to be a Game Boy game, and then they made this is like them making it 3D and new again, kind of like the Zelda. What was that Zelda game?
I don't know. I really love Pokemon, but I'm a passive fan, and like it's for me, it's very strictly like a major nostalgia for the OG anime and the OG like Red and Blue and eventually Yellow.
Yeah.
So like I played X and Y and a few others. But my real fandom is deeply stuck in 1998. Like.
Yeah.
But this is something that I'm pretty sure I'm going to pick up.
Did any of y'all play Splatoon 2 at all? Did you play Splatoon 1?
I did.
Yeah. Oh, okay. A fellow fan.
I really liked it. I liked the multiplayer, like the competitive. I don't. Can Splatoon be competitive?
Sure. Sure. Why not? I mean, they had
a competitive circuit, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They totally do. They had, I mean, there was the thing that made 2 interesting is 2 kind of had a single player element, but it wasn't super big. It was kind of short and fun, but short. Made me want more of that. But it was mostly about the head-to-head stuff, and it was fun. And I really I don't think it gets enough credit for being a cool, new-looking Nintendo property. Like, those squid people are cool-looking, and they should be in more shit. Like, is there, well, maybe there is. I don't play enough Smash to know this. Is there a squid dude in MASH? Or Smash? There should be. In MASH. Yes, the old 70s show MASH. There's a squid dude. But no, for real.
I think they did add Splatoon to...
I think it's the Squid Sisters, called.
Okay. It like hosts the news show or whatever.
Oh, I hate those two. They're my least favorite thing about the game because you can't skip them. They just talk and talk and talk and kind of hate it. All right.
Hold on. It looks like they might be an assist trophy. I think I've got that wrong.
Oh, well, whoever, again, my Smash knowledge is about as limited as it gets. So I have no freaking idea, but.
Apparently Inklings are in Smash.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Inkling.
Yeah. So it's like a player character basically.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm a fan of the look, the style, the take. I just think it's like 90s ass looking stuff. I love the idea that you got to clean up other people's ink because they left their ink where your ink should be, and we win the match not just by knocking people out but by painting the place. So just some really
paint,
cool stuff.
Getting your color everywhere and you can kill people with paint, like I don't know, it's like, just like, yeah, it's so fun.
I agree.
I'm glad you said 90s because I always thought it looked like the heyday of Nickelodeon cartoons.
Oh yeah, big time. Big time. I definitely feel a throwback. Like, there's a Sega quality to it. You could tell me that, you know, if Sega had made a Dreamcast game called Splatoon, I would believe you. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Get it this weekend alongside Power Stone.
There you go. Oh, dude, don't even say those words. I love Power Stone so freaking much. Holy shit. I played Power Stone till my eyes bled. And now I'm blind. Just kidding. That's not true. All right. What else? I'm looking forward to Warhammer 40K Darktide. This game was supposed to come out this year. It didn't. It'll be out in 2022. Game Pass day one. I love Vermintide 2 in particular. This is the same devs making this. It's a co-op, think Left 4 Dead, but set in the Warhammer universe, in this case the 40K universe. I could not be more excited to play this with my friends, and the sooner it gets here, the better.
Yeah, I want this real bad. I like Vermintide 2 enough, but I prefer 40K to Sigmar.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
This just looks so right up my alley.
I get in trouble with people who think the fantasy Warhammer is the jam, and not me. I think
they're both cool, but I like Space Marines, man. They just look cool.
Dude, Space Marines are great. those arachnid things. What are they called? Tyranids, whatever they are.
Tyranids.
Space orcs are the best orcs. they're amazing. I mean, the fact that, you guys, I mean, we haven't even talked about how they announced. But the problem is we don't have a date, so I didn't bring it up. But they announced Space Marine 2 is happening. And I could not be more excited. That was my number one takeaway from the Game Awards was that game. And I could just spend all day here. They're in giant derelict ships shaped like castles in the middle of space. And look at all the shit you got to fight. Like, why wouldn't you play this game? Oh, I'm going to play this so hard. And it's co-op. You like co-op, Joss? Come on, let's play Darktide, you
I
and
do.
Me. All right.
I mean, it's Game Pass day one. I'm down. Honestly, Game Pass has introduced me to so many franchises I otherwise wouldn't have touched.
Yeah, no, 100%. We were discussing this on Core yesterday. Some games you'll never, ever check out because, well, that's $30 and I don't really know if that's going to be for me. But if it shows up on Game Pass or a service like it, you have no problem. There's no reason not to check it, right? And then you end up discovering something. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I just ran into this because I never knew this game existed or that it would be this good or whatever. And I know there are people like that with certain Game Pass stuff. In fact, I played that Aliens game. What's it called? Strike Team? Power Team? Something Team?
Fire
Team? Fire Team. Aliens Fire Team.
Strike Power Fire Team.
Colonial.
I'm sure it's having a bit of a second life because it's like on Game Pass.
Yeah.
I still haven't tried it. I'm into my second playthrough of the Infinite campaign. I enjoyed it so much.
Look at you. That's awesome.
Time to try Heroic now that I'm not terrible at Halo.
I keep hearing the end of that game, and I'm not there, is a little rough. Would you say that's true? The end of Infinite?
I liked it. Liked it quite a bit. Actually,
can't remember who it was. Somebody was saying this was my game of the year until I hit the final, I don't know, 10th of the game or something in the campaign, and just said it was like a chore. But I don't. That's true of a lot of Halo games. Actually, it's true of a lot of shooters. Just gonna put that out there.
I really enjoy. There's a thing once you finish it, man. There's a thing I really want to talk to you about because there's a rather long level towards the end that I loved.
Really. Wonder if that's
the one they're talking about. I guess I could see where it was a tad repetitive, but I really liked the setup for it, and yeah, I just had a good time.
All right, how do we feel about Baldur's Gate? Do we like that game?
I've never played one, so it's not really on my radar.
Garrett! Oh my gosh, you have to play a Baldur's Gate game, and probably it'll be this new one, but Baldur's Gate 3, currently in early access, so you know it's not an unknown thing at this point. People know what it is, and they're adding content here and there, but that's supposed to finally be out this year, and I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Baldur's Gate fan. It was my original BioWare game. I couldn't believe how cool that game was in its day. It was just so rad. 2 was really good as well. I liked Icewind Dale. I liked all those spinoffs. Anything in that original Infinity Engine, I think it was called. Unity? No, Infinity Engine, I think is what it was called. Anyway, this looks like an amazing thing. It's made by those guys that, what's the name of them? Shoot, I never remember the name of the dev, but they make Original Sin 2, which, you know, is a huge popular thing. And it looks very much like that. Like, it might play like that. But anyway, Baldur's Gate 3, I expect all sorts of shit in there, and I'm going to play it. So suck it, everybody else. I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3 in 2022. So take that. It'll be co-op too. So another fun.
I don't think anybody's mad about that, Scott.
No, I know. I'm kind of making it up a little bit. A little controversy out of nothing. Yeah, I'm going to play it. Oh, Larian. That's who it is. That's the developer is Larian. Thank you for the correction, chat. Tally in our chat, I know, played a ton of 3 when it launched and seemed to really like it. There's others in our chat who like it. I'm very excited about that game. So it'll be good. Now, here's a list of possibles that I don't feel like are all that likely for next year, but they might happen. Probably a new ESO expansion of some sort. So Jocelyn and I will be excited about that. Maybe Garrett will. I don't know. A new WoW expansion maybe gets announced. Won't come out though, right? Too early. What else? Diablo 4. Probably not happening next year.
I thought that they confirmed or alluded to it not coming next year. I thought that was in their earnings call or whatever.
Maybe. Or I thought it was... Well, maybe it was both of them. Overwatch 2 also probably not likely. And
it was both of them, and they were like, not coming next year.
Yeah. So neither of those are probably on our list. There's a new Guild Wars expansion coming out in February, which I'm actually looking forward to. I like that game a lot. Overwatch 2, we've said. Oh, Darkest Dungeon 2, which is an early access right now on Epic's store, is very good. So I just want to sneak that one in there. Probably won't be done this year, but it's possible. If it is, you're all in for a treat. It's rad. If you thought the first dungeon or Darkest Dungeons was too punishing and kind of left you, you know, wishing you could, it was a little more accessible or whatever, you'd be happy because this one is. It's still hard. It's hard as nails, but it's way more accessible than I think the first game. Anyway, so that's the thing to look forward to. So those are the ones we're looking at. Of all of those, is there one? Okay, a gun to your head, the two of you. You have to choose one of these that we talked about. One of these mostly confirmed for the next year. Someone holds a gun to your head and says, you have to choose one of these out of all of these. What game do you choose? Jocelyn, which one?
Forbidden West.
Oh, my Lord. Down. Seems like an easy answer. Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't even hard.
Yeah. Garrett.
Ask me in any other year might be hard, but not this year.
Not this year. Garrett, which of these is doing that for
Ragnarok.
You? Oh, man. He's not even hesitating. Jeez.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm torn, but I don't know. Probably Starfield. If they can deliver what I hope it is, I don't know. See, the problem is you guys.
I think Starfield is very likely to surprise me and become my favorite game of the year.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge Bethesda fan, but Skyrim was that for me. It was like I was like, I don't really like Bethesda games. Here they are with another Elder Scrolls and their mirrored face textures that I have to stare at straight on. And that game is freaking incredible,
yeah.
As we all now know.
Yeah.
So I think Starfield has the potential to be my favorite game of the year.
Okay.
But I am 100% day one's full price spending on Ragnarok. Give me that game. Give me it now.
Is that going to be, what do you predict there? $79 for the basic version? That's what they're doing now?
Whatever it is money that no longer belongs to me.
You've already spent it. that's great. There's actually a lot to like about next year. This year was a good year for gaming. I feel like we're living in a time of an embarrassment of riches when it comes to choice for your games. And we'll see what next year brings and what games we focus on here on the show. All right, let's talk real quick about what we're playing these days. I talked about Sea of Thieves. I also just want to mention a game that I cannot stop playing, and I don't even think it's that amazing. I just can't stop. There's this game called Tavern Master. It's made by one dude. It's a Steam game, and it did quite well on Steam, which is how I discovered it, because they put out their lists of like bestsellers and most concurrent players and all that stuff Steam does every year. And this was on one of those lists, and I went, wait, what is this thing? It ended up being the game of my holiday break. It's all I played, and I loved it. It's very chill. You run a tavern that you build and can modify and add floors to and add bartenders to and then bring food in there and get kitchens and run a table of adventurers who go out and get really rare stuff for you in between days. And then you hold events for the queen and all their people come and you get a ton of money for it. And then you build it out and spend more money. And there's a tech tree and like a weird battle pass XP system and just this insane, insanely addictive loop that I just had to do one more time. And it turned into a complete obsession for me. And I ended up beating it on the campaign thing and then started a new game in sandbox mode where you can just spend all the money you want and do whatever you want. And I'm still doing that. I'm shocked how much I liked it. And I think it's great. If any of that sounds interesting to you, to be a tycoon over your rad little tavern in a mystical land. And that's really all it is. You're not going anywhere else. You're in you run the tavern. Like, you're not going to go into town and buy horses or any of that shit. You are running that tavern. You're refilling drinks. You're opening new recipes for food. And you're sending an adventurer off to get some kind of weird fish that you can only get if you spend $500 on him doing it. It's a weird effing game, and I couldn't stop playing it. So that's what I've been up to.
This actually sounds right up my alley.
You probably really like it.
Steam page open now. I'm like, I'm gonna buy that when we're done.
I actually thought of you because I know you know you like these city builders. And
I do.
And this is very much that. But the nice thing about it, I mean, it has its challenges, but none of them are hard. Like, the game isn't hard by any stretch. And I found that to be exactly what I needed right now. It just scratches the itch of me building a thing and growing it out. And
it kind of looks like Sim-ish.
A little bit.
Like The Sims, like you're building your house in The Sims.
A little bit.
That's the whole game.
Yeah, a little bit. And I just love turning on like fast forward and watching all my people run around. And, you know, part of it is just decorating and making it look cooler, and it ups everybody's excitement to be there, or ups your chances of people being more patient for their food or drinks when you put in a fireplace or you put a cool decoration on the wall, and you unlock the Mona Lisa at one point and hang that on the wall, and it gives a big boost to prestige or whatever. And you can build up to 4 floors on this thing, and it's stupid fun. I loved it. I really loved it. So anyway, that's what I played. Joss, what have you been up to?
I've actually been playing a lot of Hearthstone. They have the single player content that basically I have not touched. So, like, and more so just the stuff that they've put out this year. They did a whole bunch of, they called them like Book of. So there was Book of Heroes, which was all of the original, like Hearthstone characters taken from Warcraft, obviously. So like they told the story of like Rexxar and Jaina and Gul'dan and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But this year they did Book of Mercenaries, which I had zero interest in. But over the holidays, I was just looking for something to do. And I'm like, oh, I'll just grind out these achievements, get the hero portraits or whatever. But the Book of Mercenaries content has actually turned out to be really interesting. And I'm really enjoying it. So like not so much for the Hearthstone part of it, but the storytelling part of it is actually really good. So I'm surprised because, I mean, I really didn't care very much about the mercenaries that they were pushing this year as their story. I'm like, I don't care. But they're kind of making me care. So I was surprised.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear it. A lot of people I felt like had fallen off of that or didn't feel like that was cool or whatever. But maybe you just have to get into it to appreciate it.
Well, they put a lot of the character development and the story in the single player, which is kind of fine. But yeah, when it's your whole entire big thing that you're doing this year, maybe it could have been other places more so.
I could
somehow
see that.
I don't know.
Garrett, what have you been up to these days? What are you playing?
Halo. The Final Fantasy and Halo mostly.
Yeah.
Are like they're eating up a lot of my holiday hours.
How far? So I hit level 28 or something, 29. Finally, when the queue started to settle a little bit, I was able to get some time in Final Fantasy. How far have you gotten in there?
I'm on the last leg of quest to finish out the post-credit Realm Reborn patch content.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, well, you're
so I'm almost to Heaven's Ward.
Okay.
I'm like 56 or something, I think.
So you're to the point that that things get good is what everyone says. I mean, not that they're bad.
I actually thought pre-credits Realm Reborn was way better than post-credits. Post-credits, there's a lot of scenes about people just sitting around a table talking politics, and it bores me to tears.
I look forward to skipping that. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. However, I did just do one of the coolest dungeons I've done so far. When you get up to Keeper of the Lake, that dungeon is dope.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it's a really cool dungeon.
They have some cool dungeons. Even some of their original Realm Reborn stuff surprised me how much I liked it. And also I was surprised how once in a while I was like, I'm not in the mood for a dungeon. I don't want to spend the next 45 minutes with these people, and then realize it's a single boss dungeon who's there as soon as you walk in. I like those. Because if you're not in the mood for that, just kill a dude, get a drop, get out, you know?
Yeah, the primals. I think they're like technically considered trials, but yeah, I think of them as dungeons as well.
Yeah.
And also, it like if you want to see some classic, ridiculous, over the top Final Fantasy summon animations,
yeah,
every single primal fight has one.
Yep,
and it's just so it's delight. It is anime to the max. I love it.
That's amazing. The Garrett of a year ago is not the Garrett of today when it comes to Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it turns out you should like probably actually like try a game before you judge it. Yeah, I'm big on aesthetics, works. Though, and like typically anime style games, like they don't really do much for me. But being steeped in the game and, you know, spending a lot of hours in it, it's just like, you know, it starts to fade into the background. You're like, yeah, this is just how the world looks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'll eat my hat. It's a fun ass MMO.
What kind of hat are you wearing? Or what kind of hat will you eat? Tell me which one. What do you prefer?
I'll eat the hat that says, I wish I was playing this instead of the last two World of Warcraft expansions.
Nice. That's the last two. Oof. I mean, I guess that's right.
Yeah, they haven't been great.
I wish I had jumped ship back in BFA. I probably would have had a much more fun, grindy MMO life.
Yeah, what's funny about that is it broke the chain, right? You know, the whole like every other Star Trek's a good Star Trek, or you know, this happens all the time with lots of different media. And Blizzard had that with WoW. It was like every other expansion is the strong one. And that was true right up until Legion. And then BFA was, a little wanting, and we were all like, well, yeah, it is the every other one, so it's okay. Whatever's after that is going to blow our minds. And that's where it got complicated. Well, anyway, whatever. We'll see what they announce this year. Maybe there's some reason to be excited. I don't know.
But, I'm going to find it really hard to get excited going forward.
Yeah, I mean, same.
Shadowlands was such a letdown.
Yeah, yeah. Final Fantasy's really, really killed my opinion of WoW. Like, it was the final nail in a mostly complete coffin. Like, where I'm like, oh, damn, this is what I've been wanting out of an MMO. And yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to not talk about WoW too much because my opinion is really bad right now.
Yeah, no, it's not a great.
I'm at a point where I'm like, I think I need the people who are currently making that game to freaking leave.
Yeah,
and I need new blood making that game because I don't think I trust them anymore.
Just flush that system and try again. I don't know. There is a feeling like that here as well, and it's weird to feel that way, but. And this is aside from all the mess and the freaking harassment issues and all that.
Just game.
That just adds to the problem. But if you're just talking game, boy, it really petered out. And things and discovering things like, oh, well, look at ESO these days, or look at the strength of Final Fantasy, or check out what they're doing in Guild Wars while nobody was looking. That's been that's the big eye opener for me. Or even Star Wars. I was playing Old Republic, and there are players in there, like tons of them all over the place in early levels, like leveling characters and doing stuff. And you know, there are healthy communities around these other MMOs, and these other games are doing things in different ways that we just didn't know were happening. And I don't know, I feel like I don't know, my eyes open a little bit. It's weird. It's a weird experience.
The MMO is inherently, not to self-defend too much, you know, because people love throwing the word copium around right now. But
yeah.
I think MMOs, you inherently have a lot of investment. Like, I haven't played any other game since 2005.
Right.
There's no game from 2005 I am still playing.
Sure.
So yeah, I think kind of getting to a point of like, I think I'm done for a while. Yeah. You do start to look around, and it just gives you an open mind to, you know, give these other experiences an honest shake.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel like what happened with me.
Yeah. So it doesn't help. Like, it doesn't help to have horrible working conditions and bad policies. But other than that, yeah, the game's just kind of, I don't know, man.
Yeah, plus I was making really content about it. The instance used to be a WoW show. I was doing WoW Killer. All of that stopped.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I had really no reason to like, why am I still playing a thing I'm not enjoying?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, trust me, I know this feeling as good as anybody. Jocelyn, sorry, you were going to say something.
Oh, no, I was just going to say Shadowlands was really promising right at the get-go. I thought the questing experience was really fun. And it's really, really fallen off. There's too many different things coming together to make your character like powerful. And I hate it.
Yeah. That's hard for me to get into.
Too many systems.
Yeah.
Many systems.
Covenants, legendaries. Covenant should have been cosmetic only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Oh gosh, dang it. That's a great point. Isn't it sort of becoming that? I keep hearing that subsequent patches or whatever, they're trying to do that.
They like put in a bunch of stuff that like people asked for right from the get go, but like everybody's gone. At the beginning of Shadowlands, I don't say that lightly. At the beginning of Shadowlands, my raid team had like 40 people that were trying to raid with us. Yeah. And we did not have enough room for them. And now we can't pull 10 people together. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's kind of bad. And I feel bad because I think AIE is still one of the bigger guilds in the game, but it's a whole bunch of people have fallen off or gone to other games. There's a lot of stuff growing in other MMOs for that same group of people. Like, I don't know, just a weird time. Still kind of having a hard time reckoning with it, like, because it just feels like a different life ago. That, you know, this seemed like the only and best train you'd ever want to buy a ticket for. But I don't know, man. We're living in a different time, and I think 2022, even more so, will broaden people's eyes as to what's out there to play. And you know what? It's okay. The thing's almost 20 years old. It's okay. You know?
I want to be clear too. Like, I know I'll like come back to it at some point. Like, I freaking love this. I love that world. I love the aesthetic of World of Warcraft. And I just think I'm kind of over its direction right now.
Yeah. I'll admit that they could do things that would bring me back. Being a regular player.
Not me being like, it's terrible and I'll never play it again. I'm just like, I think it's terrible right now and I'm not going to play it right now.
Yeah. But Jocelyn's right. They'd have to really impress me with some new idea. Like, I'd have to go, oh, now that is a... Like, it's in a weird way, there's no way they did this, because I know they didn't do it, but it would be really great if now World of Warcraft 2 is coming out. Because then you then now you have a chance to just really, you know, like they've always...
Refresh everything.
And they've always talked about how that's not... You don't want to split your player base and all of that. Well, okay, but do you want to just have it all peter out and nobody care at one point?
And, do you want to just lose your players?
Yeah, like, yeah, split them or not. It's better to have something fresh and new. And, you know, of course, they in the larger scheme of things, I think Titan was meant to be that for them. But, you know, I if I had my way, it would be a single player, you know, beautiful modern graphic take on kind of Skyrim level take on the world of Azeroth and that, and a single player more focused game. That's what I want to play. I'd play that tomorrow, the minute it came out. Maybe with all this harassment stuff, I'll give them a pass for one $50 purchase and I would play that effing game. But they're not making that game. They're just milking this game. And I think maybe they've milked it too long. That teat has dried up and is no longer producing any milk. That's terrible to say. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our discussion today. Thank you all for coming and listening to us live. We're excited for a new year of content and some new cool stuff coming up. A couple of things I want to mention. First of all, starting Monday, the Frog Pants Network has always had about three video game shows going. That's always been kind of the thing. There's this show, there's Core, and then for a long time we had a show called Boop, where me and Brian Dunaway talked about mostly indie games. Well, in fact, entirely indie games. That was kind of our whole jam there. That show is being put on hiatus for a bit, and for the last month we've been working on a new project together called Play Retro at frogpants.com/playretro. It is 100% focused on retro gaming. Arcades, NES, Super NES, Genesis, all the old stuff you loved growing up with as a kid. The Addams Family.
May I recommend Pugsley Scavenger Hunt.
That's right. May we end up doing it. I don't know. It's an obscure game I've never heard of, but we're going to start things off Monday. So it's the 3rd of January. We do it. We record at the normal previous Boop time, 3:30 Mountain Time. And the podcast feeds are already. It's already a thing you can do on Spotify and Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Amazon, all of them. Or just into whatever player you're using. Get in now so it's just ready to pop as soon as the episode lands. That's over at frogpants.com/playretro. And I'm very excited about it. So do check it out. I think our first big discussion, we're going to do a lot of historical stuff and background stuff on how these games got made, who made them, why they got made, why their sequels were bad, all that kind of thing. And we're starting with Joust, my favorite arcade game of all time. I love Joust. I could play Joust right now. I love Joust. It's amazing. I have a Joust in the other room, although it's a little miniature one, but it's still a Joust machine, and I can play it right now if I wanted to. We're going to talk about that and the history of it and why it's such an influential game for me and others. That's this coming Monday, frogpants.com/playretro. Okay. Quick mention of some of our patrons who we love here at the end of the year. Dustin Campbell. He's at the Warforged level. Big thanks to him for backing us. Also at the rare level, we got Tom Dodeline. He's a junior, so I guess he's got a dad named Tom Dodeline as well. Charles May. I don't know how you say that last name. Anyway, it doesn't matter because he's at the common level and we love him as well. If you want to be like these fine people and support the Instance moving into 2022, now's the time to sign up at patreon.com/instance. All right. Even though it's a weird time of year, let's go around the horn here and see what people are doing. Jocelyn, what are you up to this week that people might want to check out?
I'm going to be playing Hearthstone on stream tonight for New Year's Eve. So if you guys want to come and hang out, then please do. I'm going to be going from 9 p.m. Eastern until at least midnight. I was going to try to go till 3, but I'm feeling kind of shit, so I probably won't. But we'll at least make it to midnight. I'm not that old yet that I can't make it to midnight on New Year's.
Well, good luck to you. I hate that you guys are both a little sick today, but may you wake up in 2022 with nothing. Garrett, what are you doing? Anything cool for the holiday?
I'm going to be sitting on my butt tonight drinking champagne cocktails.
Nice. Cocktail night.
That's it.
You're not going to stream it? You and Katie doing a little stream? No?
No, I don't feel up to it. I'm going to go take a nap after this.
Oh, that sounds great, doesn't it?
Same.
So you should go to youtube.com/amovetv to see my Final Fantasy 14 video content. Our latest video is rapidly approaching 50,000 views.
Oh my lord.
Is insane and blowing my mind. And thank you so much, everybody, because I'm recognizing some names in the comments. So clearly some Instance listeners, some TAC listeners, some Instant Into the Nexus listeners are heading over there and checking that out. But it's been a really, really cool experience at the end of the year to start just kind of chronicling my journey through that game, and that people like it and are kind in the comments.
Yeah, it's YouTube we're talking about.
That doesn't sound like YouTube.
I know, right? Like,
what is this YouTube kindness you're talking about? It doesn't sound real.
Garrett's just had like a month-long fever dream.
Yeah.
I'm going to wake up one day and it's like it's got 4 views and there's 7 comments somehow saying to kill myself.
Well, they took out downvoting, so you'll be okay. You'll be all right now.
I can see it, though.
You still see it.
Just, like, you go to the studio and it. But yeah, I think the latest video is like 98% upvoted. So
that's really good. That's very cool. I'm very happy to hear that. You know, YouTube's a tough egg to crack at this stage. And so to see you cracking it a bit is very cool. The new Logan Paul, everybody. Watch him rise in his fame.
Oh, God. Please don't.
Of all people.
I know. I mean, everyone knows that
success, please. But maybe I'd like to go about it a different way.
Yeah, we'll get a little. You know what? Let's go the Taliesin route. Let's go that way. He's great.
Yeah.
We love
that. I do like, you know, I'll watch Logan Paul open some Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
I'll do
Why not? I'll watch. I'd rather watch Post Malone open them, but whatever. So there you have it. Lots of stuff going on. I mentioned our retro show on Monday. There's a Film Sack this weekend. We're doing the new Matrix movie to finish out our Matrix run that we did on Film Sack. So watch that on YouTube HBO Max, where it is now, and watch that show. Lots of other stuff happening at frogpants.com, which is where you can find other shows like this. So go check it out. Our website is theinstance.net. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/instance. And that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in the new year.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
A little Patrick laugh at the end.